Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Windbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. They can be found on the web at windbridge.org. Our guest tonight is Dr. Jeffrey Mishlove, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. So, Bob, what's up today?
Not a lot. I know that you ever, I'm sure it happens to you a lot, you know, you're driving in the car, especially when you're on a monotonous road and your mind starts to drift. Sometimes you don't even remember how you got from point A to point B. And I was doing it like that on the drive today. And I was thinking about a few things. One, you know, one, I don't remember in particular what I was thinking about it, but a new thought popped into my head. It didn't follow the previous train of thought that I was on. So then I started thinking, maybe because of the guest tonight, as the listeners will soon find out, but so I started to try to analyze it. Like, how did that happen? You know, how did all these electrochemical processes in my brain...
If that's what they really are.
Right. How did they all fire and produce this thought? And if it wasn't the result of these processes, did I dig up this thought from my subconscious and I'm just, you know, bringing it to the surface? Or was I the receiver of a thought that somebody else was having at the same time or was transmitting it to me? Or was
a lot of choices.
Yeah. That was a long ride. This person that may be sending me this thought in the physical or in the non-physical realm?
I have lots of thoughts for your thoughts.
And the last thought was when I had this thought was that I unconsciously transmitting it to other people. So what's your choice? A, B, C, D, or E, or all of the above?
I think I have a response for almost all of them, but I lean towards there being a higher entity that assists us, whose job it is to assist us in navigating the physical world that we, quote-unquote, contracted to enter for some reason or another, and that because we are so far removed from the origins of who man, woman, whatever you want to call it, first was when we appeared here in the physical earth the very first time, we're so far removed from that that we don't know that it's natural to tap in to that source. So now it becomes the obligation of the source to make sure that we tap in at the critical times. So my theory would be that that thought that had nothing to do with what you were thinking about, had nothing to do with your drive, had nothing to do with that, suddenly pops into your head is some entity, some force, some higher knowledge trying to give you something that you need in order to navigate the physical world.
Well, I'm open to that, and I know that probably happens on occasion, but I don't know necessarily that it has to be a higher force. Maybe that's just the way that it is, that we are all interconnected and we're all exchanging these thoughts. It doesn't have to be from a discarnate.
Well, do we not know that we have a multidimensional universe?
Yeah.
So we don't know that our existence here in our dimension is higher or lower or on the same level as in the other dimension.
Or parallel to.
So given that, the information can come from any one of those dimensions.
Yeah, including the fact that we could be communicating with ourselves in a parallel life.
Which I also buy into. I also buy into that because I think that we are, our souls are multidimensional. Just because we recognize that we are a physical person that has a soul doesn't mean that it's a soul that's sitting in heaven on a cloud strumming a harp, or maybe burning in hell for that matter too. That's all stuff that's been fed to us in the most recent of our existence as people here on the earth. For thousands and thousands of years before that, we truly understood why we were here. And as we became an industrialized people, we are totally separated from that. But you're seeing this shift of people turning back to that again, and that's cool, I think.
Mm-hmm. See, I can just interview you for the show.
Then. Okay, but then Jeffrey might get a little upset.
Yeah. Well, let me, since we're on this.
He knows way more than I do.
Since we're talking about my random thoughts.
Yeah.
So I'm on Facebook today, communicating with somebody. And then, you know, it dawns on me, I, like many other people, are attracted to the multitudes of postings that are either of, you know, cute animal videos or babies. And I admit that, you know, I love it just like everybody else. And I started thinking, well, why is it? Why are we so attracted to that? Do you think it's because of the innocence of animals and babies, that there's, we sort of, it's like an escape, that they don't have the same stresses and pressures that we have?
No, I think it's because they come equipped with unconditional love, and we've lost that. They have that. It's built in. Nobody took it away from them yet. They don't even know they can lose it and that they will lose it.
And we yearn for that.
We yearn for that. So when you see, I know, I was guilty this morning. I never go on Facebook, but I had to go check something, and there was this gorgeous little white kitten that was just being so adorable. It was, and I think that was my post when I shared it, was, look at this love that comes out of this little kitten. Just look at this love. And that's what I really think it is. I think it's just unaltered existence of love. And that's what this is all about. We're all connected by that one common thread, which is love. You can't take that away. You can hide it. You can bury it. You can do whatever you want. But it's still the common thread that unites us all.
Yeah. The thing that's also hard to reconcile is that every once in a while you'll see these articles or the posts or these news stories about somebody that abuses animals. Oh. Not only angers us, but it disappoints us, you know, that and our fellow man. But yet, you know, there are so many of these atrocities committed across the globe on a daily basis that go unnoticed and unrecognized by anybody, you know. So, but you know,
or even noticed and recognized. By the way, I just want to point out that there are medical schools, there are veterinarian schools, and they're still torturing animals in the name of science, and they don't have to. It's already been proven they don't have to, and they still do it. Where's the compassion?
Well, yeah. Well, sometimes I think people have more compassion towards, you know, the animal species than they do towards their fellow man, is my point. You know, so
I don't know. I don't know about that. I think that if you were on some level to be able to collect the species, I think people will defer most to being compassionate towards people before they will towards animals. There's been, again, that's been the cultural shift over the thousands of years that we've been around, is that animals are here to serve us, or they're our food, or they're our supply, or somehow they are lesser than we are. But when you look at them and you look at that love that they have, they're way higher than we are on that spiritual realm.
Well, you know, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to have a fascinating guest, Dr. Jeffrey Mishlove, and we're going to be talking mainly about the PK man, and stay tuned because the things about the PK man could do are mind-boggling. So we'll be back in a few minutes. Stay with us.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it.
Become a WindBridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more. The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Jeffrey Mishlove. Our sponsor is the WindBridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at windbridge.org. Bob?
And we're honored tonight to have Dr. Jeffrey Mishlove. He's the video host of the New Thinking Aloud series. He's conducted hundreds of interviews, I think it's hundreds, if not thousands at this point, with leading figures in psychology, philosophy, science, health, and spirituality. In addition to being a researcher of psychic abilities and extraordinary human capacities, he's been a writer, an artist, a television host, and producer, a licensed psychotherapist, and a business person. He's the author of The Roots of Consciousness, Psi Development Systems, Thinking Aloud, and The PK Man. He's the recipient of the only doctoral diploma in parapsychology ever awarded by an accredited university. He hosted and co-produced the original Thinking Aloud public television series, which aired on as many as 120 public TV stations in the U.S. and Canada for more than 18 years. He serves as Dean of Transformational Psychology at the University of Philosophical Research. He's also past president of the nonprofit Intuition Network, an organization dedicated to creating a world in which all people are encouraged to cultivate and apply their inner intuitive abilities. You can check out the video series by Jeff's YouTube channel, New Thinking Aloud. Just put that into your YouTube search. Various websites, mishlove.com, intuition.org, and thinkingaloud.com. Welcome, Jeff, and nice to speak with you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And, you know, I mentioned in the intro about your, you know, your PhD. And, you know, over the years, you know, we've interviewed a bunch of academics in the parapsychology world. And inevitably, the conversation always turns to the name of Jeffrey Mishlove because being the only person to receive a PhD, you know, in parapsychology from a major university. So I guess the question is, how did you forge the way and why haven't others been able to follow in your footsteps?
Well, first I should say that there are probably about 200 people alive today who have received doctoral diplomas for dissertation research on a parapsychological topic. My degree is unique because the diploma says parapsychology. Most of the others say something else. In fact, they all say something else, like psychology or philosophy or neurophysiology or something like that. But I set up an individual interdisciplinary doctoral major when I was a student at the University of California at Berkeley. And that's the only opportunity anybody in the world has had to actually get a diploma that says parapsychology. I would have thought by now, 36 years later, that other people would have such degrees, and I hope eventually they get them. And in fact, one of my motivations for setting up the New Thinking Aloud YouTube channel is to help create a database of useful information for students who might wish to pursue academic degrees in parapsychology.
And that's a noble pursuit. You wrote, and I've read and viewed many of your interviews over the years and learned a lot from it. I keep being drawn back to the book that you wrote quite a while ago, The PK Man, about Ted Owens. You know, it's a book that I believe has stood the test of time. And it would be great if you could give our listeners just a brief interview of overview of who Ted Owens was and maybe a taste of some of his abilities.
Well, he died in 1987. I did research with him from 1976 until 1987. I learned about him back in the days when I was visiting my friends Hal Puthoff and Russell Targ at SRI International, a big military-industrial think tank. And they had received a lot of publicity for their research with Uri Geller and their research on remote viewing. And this fellow, Ted Owens, was contacting them and saying, "Why are you wasting your time? Don't you know I'm the world's greatest psychic? You should be studying me instead," because he was so eager to work with scientists. And they didn't know what to do with him. He sent them a letter and saying, "Just to prove to you that I am the world's greatest psychic, I'll give you a demonstration. I'll end the drought." There was a big drought at that time in California. And in your community, he said, "The local papers will publish an article saying the drought is over in just a few days, and it'll be accompanied by my trademark signatures of weird weather, hail and sleet and snow and lightning and UFO sightings and power blackouts all at once." And within a couple of days, that's what actually happened. And the local paper actually published the story, "The drought is over." Russell Targ, a famous parapsychologist, wrote back to him and said that was a very good prediction. And he wrote back saying, "Heck no, that was no prediction. I caused it." And at that point, they were getting funding from the CIA, we now know. and from the military intelligence establishment for their work in remote viewing. They felt that they just couldn't have a loose cannon like this Ted Owens, trying to generate publicity for himself. And so they saw me, an eager young graduate student, and said, why don't you take this case on? And I did. I studied Ted Owens for the next 10 years, and I have in my files 168 different examples of demonstrations like this, and roughly two-thirds of them came off as he said they would. It's really quite an impressive track record overall.
Yeah, and much of your files are written about in the PK Man, A True Story of Mind Over Matter. So going back, so you're a doctoral student when you start writing the book, I assume. I mean, you were obviously very well versed in psi research, and a lot of what you studied involved, PK on the micro level. But yet, you were open to the possibility at that time that mind could affect matter on a grand scale.
Well, that was one of Owen's unique contributions. J.B. Rhind started experimenting with dice back in the 1930s, seeing if people could use psychokinesis to affect the outcome of dice. And that worked fairly well. But Owens said it's just as easy to affect volatile, large-scale systems like the weather as it is to affect the fall of dice.
Yeah. Well, as you mentioned, I mean, he was so complex. I mean, sometimes he would boast that he was making these large-scale events happen with his own psychokinetic abilities. Other times he claimed that it was space intelligence that made things happen, and he was simply being used as a conduit. I would imagine this made, as a researcher, it was quite a challenge for you, was it not, trying to put this together or make sense of it?
Yes, because it might be precognition, it might be psychokinesis, it might be through the agency of these invisible other dimensional beings that he called the space intelligences. And I can't say that I ever got to the bottom of it, but what I can say is that he had a pretty impressive track record, and I make those files available today to interested researchers.
Yeah, I related to the dilemma of trying to separate it. I mean, following the survival researchers over the years, it was always a challenge of trying to separate what was, after-death communication from super psi theory, and, mm-hmm. and similar dilemma, trying to figure out if Owens had precognitive ability or making things happen with PK, or maybe a bit of both. So it's it was a fun ride as you waded through all this, no?
Yeah. It's really quite an extraordinary adventure. Owens claimed to have more psychic powers than anybody since the time of Moses. He believed that the same agencies that worked through Moses were working through him. He called them the space intelligences. And actually, if you look at the whole history of research in psychical research and parapsychology, there hasn't been anyone else who has demonstrated a greater amount of regular large-scale psychokinesis.
Yeah, it was interesting as I read all the accounts that many times when Owens would predict these violent weather patterns or power failures, they were often accompanied by UFO sightings, most of the time that they were. So that seemed to be evidential that there was a connection to space intelligences that Owens was describing.
Well, we don't know a lot about UFO sightings. He produced one for me, and he is one of the best attested UFO sightings in history. It was seen simultaneously by hundreds of people from the air and the ground. It was photographed and videotaped, and as Owens predicted, the photograph was published in the front page of one of our local newspapers.
Do you think that Owens sometimes caused things to happen unconsciously, like he really wasn't making an effort to have them, but just, I know you mentioned cases mm-hmm. where he was just in the geographical location He just happened to be and then when these disasters or weather patterns occurred. So, you know, sometimes it was unconscious and sometimes he made the effort to purposely do it.
That's correct. He was living in Vancouver, Washington, right at the base of Mount St. Helens when it exploded. And he called me up after the fact complaining it was an accident. He was just practicing, teaching his young children how to do psychokinesis, and they were drawing what he called the PK maps, little iconography, representations of what he wanted to happen, and holding them up. They were at the park next to the mountain, and then as it exploded. So he regards that as something that he triggered by accident.
Wasn't there also another incident where he was on a plane and he was reading one of those PK maps that showed a plane crash? And then the plane in front of him or ahead of him actually crashed?
At the time, it was the worst airplane crash in U.S. history as a plane was coming into LaGuardia Airport. Kennedy Airport.
Right.
And Owens was in the aircraft right behind it. An article had just appeared in Saga magazine about him, and it had pictures of airplanes crashing because there was a previous demonstration he was involved in that and also included airplanes crashing. And he was out there getting drunk in first class and bragging to all the stewardesses about, I'm the great PK man, see what I can do. And, of course, holding up this graphic image when the aircraft right in front of his did crash. And reports are that it was struck by lightning, just as in the picture.
You had to be a little careful not to get on the wrong side of Ted, no?
Well, indeed. In fact, it's an important lesson, I think, for people. You never know when you meet somebody that they might have psychokinetic powers. It's probably a good idea to treat everybody with a measure of courtesy and respect. Owens seemed to draw out people's hostility and sarcasm because he would go around saying, I'm the great psychic, I'm the PK man, I can do this and that. And a lot of people just laughed at him and sometimes were extremely rude to him. And he often felt he needed to teach them a lesson. And lessons were indeed taught.
Hmm. So, I mean, he saw himself as something of a prophet, didn't he? Like, he was, like, chosen?
Well, he believed that he was chosen as the ambassador from the space intelligences to the people on Earth. He also believed that they sent him here as sort of a test to see how humans would respond. Was the human race ready to understand a person who had such abilities? And I suppose at the end of the day, the human race pretty much ignored Ted Owens, other than myself and a handful of other people.
A lot of people, you know, seem to have this fear. I don't know, maybe not as many people now as there once were, but a fear of PK abilities.
We used to burn people at the stake because we thought that they had such abilities that they might use for negative purposes.
Yeah. And, I mean, do you think that our thoughts unconsciously that are negative can affect other people without us making the attempt to harm somebody, but just by thinking negatively can cause harm or physical harm or mental anguish to others?
It's a very, very tricky area, and many people say we shouldn't even go there at all because it'll drive people insane to think that, let's suppose, you know, somebody you love gets in an accident and you were angry with them just the day before. You don't want to be blaming yourself necessarily. So, it, you know, a lot of people think it just opens up a can of worms. On the other hand, you know, many cultures, that is their belief system, and they've learned how to accommodate it. So in modern Western civilization, we've gone from burning witches at the stake to a belief that there is no such thing as witchcraft. And I suspect we've got a ways to go before we're ready as a civilization to integrate this information.
Mm, I agree. What about, I know you mentioned that of course, he started off contacting the folks at the SRI, and he was always trying to contact government officials, you know, with his predictions. What did he hope to accomplish?
His goal was to get the government to fund him and set up some sort of a base of operations so that he could use his psychokinetic abilities to help the United States and to for the betterment of humanity. He really wanted to be a good person and to do good things.
And he did, in fact, do a lot of good things. I know he was also a healer. Didn't he also use his abilities to heal people?
He started out his professional career as a hypnotherapist, and he was living in Texas, and the local American Medical Association began persecuting him. He told he had to stop the practice of hypnosis because the doctors didn't like it. That's, you know, he's been on the fringes of society ever since then.
Mm. Jeff, you ever give thought to the possibility that Ted is still manipulating things from the realm that he presently resides in?
Well, you know, I do talk to his family members, and they believe that they're still getting messages from him and that he is working from the other side to watch over them in different ways.
Yeah, why not? I mean, I don't think that PK is exclusive to the people with bodies. I mean, the people in the non-physical realm should be able to use PK, too. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also thought sometimes, you know, with these space intelligence, not only with Owens but with some others, that, you know, what he may have called space intelligence, somebody else maybe with a more spiritual bent might call guides, or, you know, maybe they were communications from discarnates looking to get messages across. I mean, he described these space intelligences as being made of light and energy, which is the same spiritual descriptions that we hear from about those in other realms.
In fact, he was quite explicit. He thought he was working with the same powers that worked with Moses. So he was tying his abilities right into the Judeo-Christian religion.
Hmm. You mentioned Uri Geller. He was also another controversial figure with extraordinary abilities. Were there similarities between the two?
Well, in fact, I know Uri Geller. I sponsored his first major public appearance in the United States back in 1972, even before I met Ted Owens. And they both certainly share characteristic of having unique psychokinetic gifts. Uri Geller, though, is much more successful in the world. Ted Owens never really learned how to escape from living on the edge of poverty. Even though he'd have wealthy sponsors from time to time, overall, he lived a very marginal lifestyle.
Mm. We are talking with Dr. Jeffrey Mishlove. The book we've been talking about is The PK Man, This True Story of Mind Over Matter. Highly recommended. There's a link, an Amazon link on our website, and you could find it elsewhere by going to Amazon.com. Jeff is also, if you want to have access to amazing interviews with all the people that were anybody in the psychology and philosophy and science, health and spirituality world, look up New Thinking Aloud on the YouTube channel.
Spell aloud.
Spell aloud.
A-L-L-O-W-E-D.
That's the play on words that people will spell wrong and
I didn't even
YouTube.
A-L-O-U-D. I get it. Okay.
I want to make sure they go to the right place.
We're going to go to a break, and we're going to come back, and we have a lot more to talk about, so stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Windbridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Jeffrey Mishlov. Our sponsor is the Windbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at windbridge.org. We'd like to remind our listeners to check the events page on our website regularly for all events and announcements at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. A big thank you goes out to Dr. Claude Swanson for last Tuesday's webinar, New Science Helps Explain the Afterlife, Where is Heaven? You can sign up now for our September webinar, The Medium Potential Within Us All, featuring Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, Neil Zapowski, Tracy Lee Nash, and Eliza Ray. Our first annual mediumship convention is all set for the weekend of November 11th through 13th. And again, like our grief retreat, we are enjoying an early round of reservations. Like our original Afterlife Conference, this is another first of its kind, a convention totally dedicated to the world of mediumship, run by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, taught by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, and spirit communication conducted by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums. Reservations can be made on our website, and as always, please keep in mind our no refund policy before making your reservations. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Great Nonprofits, and WellZoo. Just remember to name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of choice. And lastly, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at businessmembership@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Back to you, Bob.
And we're back with Dr. Jeffrey Mishlove. We've been talking about the PK man. And again, be sure to check out Jeff's video series, New Thinking Aloud, on the just check out the YouTube, put in New Thinking Aloud. Jeff, off air, I was mentioning that I have an interest in sporting events, both watching them and handicapping them and wagering on them, and I was really intrigued when I read about Owen's sort of tilting the scales with some sporting events. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, he loves sports just as you do, and he seemed to perform best by getting drunk, frankly, and he'd have a bottle of scotch. It's not so unusual. Ted Serios, who was well known for thoughtography or psychic photographs, was researched for many years and also liked to perform while drunk. And Ted would have several TV sets going at once, and he said that he was not very good at helping the teams that he wanted to help. He was much better at causing the opposing teams to fumble the ball and make mistakes. And typically what he would do is select the underdog teams to help. And this was actually researched one season by Dr. Max Vogel, who was the head of research for Mensa. Ted Owens was a member of the high IQ organization, Mensa. And Max Vogel reported that year that Ted was approximately 75% accurate in his efforts to support the underdog NFL football teams.
At 75%, he could have become a rich man if he was wagering on.
Well, I suppose he could have, but he was more interested in convincing scientists, I think, than in placing wagers himself.
Yeah. All right, so that's the key. Huh? I have to get drunk, but then again, I have to develop the abilities.
Yeah, it helps to have psychokinetic abilities to be
able to. Perhaps the most fascinating account and frightening involves the Challenger space shuttle. So tell us a bit about that.
Well, it was right about Christmas in 1985. I had been ignoring Ted Owens at that point because in the previous year he had made a number of predictions for very dramatic things that didn't really materialize the way he had hoped. For example, a massive earthquake he had forecast never occurred. But he called me up, and in his big booming voice, he said, "Jeffrey, this is the most important phone call you will ever receive. It's up to you now. You must contact the United States government and tell them not to launch that space shuttle, because if they do, my UFOs are going to knock it out of the sky." And I ignored him because I had no contacts in the U.S. government and no reason to think they would listen to me in the first place with a story about, you know, some character who believes he has psychokinetic powers given to him through invisible beings and giant UFOs circling over the planet. So I didn't do a thing about it. And then just 3 weeks later, the Challenger space shuttle did explode. And, you know, there are complex reasons associated with the O-rings and quality control that are the conventional explanation for what happened. But after that, I did decide I needed to pay more attention to Ted Owens. I shouldn't be ignoring him. And it was at that point that I decided to take his training program.
And that was—I was surprised, you know, when I got to that, you know, that part of the book that you, first of all, that you were open enough to—I understood why you did it. I mean, both to learn more and maybe, you know, for your own personal transformation. So, I mean, did it help you?
Well, he asked me at the beginning of the program, and I recorded the entire program on audio tape. I still have those recordings. And he said, what do you plan to do with psychokinetic powers? And I thought to myself, I really don't have any interest in conjuring up earthquakes and tornadoes or UFOs or power blackouts. And I said, what I want to do, what I like to manifest, is to be a communicator to the public at large about the world of esoteric thought and parapsychological phenomena. And it was that was my goal, and it was just a few months after completing that training course that I set up the original Thinking Aloud TV series that was eventually carried via satellite to over 100 stations all across North America, and which is sort of the antecedent to the YouTube channel that I've now established for New Thinking Aloud. So there's a sense in which I credit Ted Owens and his training for the modest success that I've had as a communicator and broadcaster.
Was the training also in honing, you know, psychic skills?
Well, the whole training program involved hypnotic inductions. It lasted 2 days, and I had two friends with me, and we spent 4 or 5 hours in a state of hypnotic trance each day. And I asked Ted Owens if it was really a question of the hypnotic suggestions or was there more to it. And he insisted there was more to it, that the hypnosis helped, but that he was also using his psychokinetic abilities and with the help of the space intelligences during the training itself.
By the way, I hate to keep firing these questions at you rapid fire, but you're such a wealth of information, and there's so many things that are interesting. I apologize in advance.
Not a problem. I'm happy to answer any questions.
The one incident that I recall from the book, which was a little scary and very interesting at the same time, was you got into a disagreement with Owens. He got mad at you and hung up the phone. And then almost immediately, you developed a severe sore throat. Then he called back, didn't he?
That's right, yes.
Yeah. And what did he say?
Well, that occurred right around the time of this amazing UFO demonstration. In fact, shortly thereafter, he had created, in his words, created, and I have to believe him, probably one of the best attested UFO sightings in history. It, not only was it the photograph published on the front page of the Berkeley Gazette, but the videotape was actually broadcast on the Channel 9 Evening News in San Francisco. So he was pretty happy with himself. However, he had promised me 3 sightings, and at that point we'd only had 2. And I reminded him, I said, well, you haven't done everything you said you were going to do yet. And that's when he got angry and slammed the phone down on me, and I began to get sick. That feeling, it wasn't a severe sore throat. It was that feeling you get when you know you've got a sore throat and you know it's going to get worse.
Mm.
And then he called back about 45 minutes later. And without explaining anything, he simply said, Jeffrey, I apologize. I will never do that again to you. And to my surprise, the sore throat lifted right away.
Yeah. Well, that to me is extremely evidential. I mean, you didn't when he called back, I mean, you didn't say you gave me a sore throat. I mean, he called and apologized. He knew what he did. And he was able to rectify the situation. That's pretty incredible.
Well, it's quite dramatic, and certainly it affected me. As a scientist, I'd have to say that it's much less evidential than the demonstrations he did where he specified in writing, in advance, what effects he planned to produce.
Mm. So, you know, again, I see a similarity you know, with survival research, because it's easy to dismiss any particular discipline of study. But when the evidence is evaluated, you know, as a whole, then, you know, survival of consciousness is the explanation that makes the most sense. So, you know, with the various Ted Owens phenomena, you can dismiss a lot of things, but I think overall, it's the extraordinary explanations that make the most sense, do they not?
Well, I have to say, whether you call it precognition or psychokinesis or intervention by other dimensional beings, those are all what you'd have to think of as paranormal explanations, one way or the other.
Right, yeah.
I think you can rule out normal explanations unless you want to say, oh, it was just all luck or all a coincidence. You might be able to.
Extraordinary coincidence.
Yeah, over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So since since the book came out, you know, and it's been, you know, quite a while, have we made strides, do you think, in getting the mainstream to remain open to the empirical and the anecdotal evidence when it comes to psi phenomena?
Well, I think there are more and more radio programs like yours, and the general public is definitely listening. The scientific establishment has a long way to go. There's still enormous resistance and hostility toward parapsychology. As I mentioned, I'm the only person in the world to have a doctoral diploma that says parapsychology, and as far as I'm concerned, that's a shame. But yeah. William James, who is one of my intellectual heroes, the founder of American psychology and American pragmatic philosophy, argued back more than 100 years ago that we can't measure progress in this field the way we would in other fields by the decade. We really have to look at progress by the century and half century.
And, you know, I'd have to say, I know we're coming to the end, but you have been, you've done more than most in over the past, you know, several decades of helping to bring this into awareness and changing worldview and getting people to rethink the way they think. So deep gratitude goes to you for your tireless work in the field, and I know that your peers and colleagues recognize that.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. So once again, we have been talking with Jeffrey Mishlov. Pick up the book. It's a classic, The PK Man, A True Story of Mind Over Matter. You know, what we do on this radio show is just the tip of the iceberg. If you want to see real in-depth interviews with the greats and the giants in the field, look up New Thinking Aloud on the YouTube channel. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us tonight. We look forward to speaking with you again.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
You too.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Karen Gould, Stanley Newlands, Glenna Irwin, Michael Tim, David Haith, Miriam Pierschka, Donna Mello, Matt Mello, Fred Feinstein, James Rafferty, Doreen Malloy, Diane Archangel, Joan Lipke, Isabel Ginsberg, and Vince Mataya. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. To love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.